What's up, Golden Peeps? It's your Golden Girl, Goldie from Russo's brand, all new Realm Network. We are so excited because of the people on this platform, the pros, bro. And speaking of that, this pro, I got an announcement. Monday, August 2nd, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join me, an all new television show on TLC Network, Call in the Cheapskates. Guess what? I'm excited and I want you to join me, especially post-show. I want to know what you learned, what you were grossed out by. Here's your chance to be a heel and shoot all over me. I don't care. Just engage. Include the TLC handle, especially on Twitter and Instagram. Hashtag call in the cheapskates. And I'm going to go combing. I'm going to go trolling. I'm going to find the funniest comments. And I'm going to send you $100, PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, whatever, just to go do whatever you want to do. $100 for 60 seconds or less of your time. Just a quick little tweet, a quick little Instagram. Get your friends to do it. I love you. I need your help. I'm asking, calling in the troops, brand power. Talk to you soon. Can't wait to see you after August 2nd, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Mwah. You've got a friend to show you.
The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network.
So other than that, what's going on?
Nothing. You notice I never ask how you are because I don't care.
No. Well aware of that.
Oh, right on. All right. Calls him like he sees him.
All right. Got me in.
3-1.
Welcome to RTW Main Event, which used to be a hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. And now we basically do whatever the hell we want. So without further ado, here's your host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Main Event. I am your host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois. This is episode number 167. You know, I've had a week to think about what I said last week, and look, we all know I was under the influence of narcotics. So I really did not wish to screw everybody over all around the world. Like, I really do still hope that everybody is doing well.
You made a new COVID strand come out because you were so angry last week.
That's on me.
Delta. It's the Lambda. It's the Omega Moos from Revenge of the Nerds. It's the freaking Alpha Betas. You just made all this shit happen. Take it away, Rob.
You know, usually I don't intro Ocho when he interrupts me, but he does deserve an intro because, you know, let me pull the curtain back a little bit. See, Dr. Ocho, one of my very long-time, close, personal, long-time friends, he's a doctor, right? And he's a doctor of generalized medicine and general studies. He's also a broadcast journalist. He took the three-hour course. So he has
3 week, 15 minutes a night.
It was 3 week? I thought it was 3 hours. So you even went longer than I thought.
It was a 3 week, but it's 15 minutes per course.
Okay.
Because we went a long time.
That's 3 weeks is more than
it was. The Alvarez course. We actually, and we're on the alumni page with Brian Alvarez.
I did not know that. I'll have to look that up. That's a pretty interesting stat that I never knew, or forgot because I didn't really care. But in any event, Ocho deserves a lot of credit because a lot of you people don't know behind the scenes, he literally does nothing but software drops. And to be honest, and I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. I mean, this is the truth. You literally are the greatest software dropper in the history of podcasting. So I'm going to, I don't have a fucking.
Or of software dropping, right? Yeah. I mean, thank you. That would have been the greatest compliment if you gave it to me last week because, you know, last week we decided that I deserved a compliment since I'm always getting shat on.
But I did. We all complimented you.
I know, but you did the whole your mask is the greatest and you have the shiniest thing and your pecker should be bigger, but it's okay. That kind of stuff. It's it's fun to finally be recognized for what you're worth. And that is a software drop. Which I don't want to take the accolades because now I'm humbled for the first time.
First time.
Usually I try ever. Because I try and glom on the getting my recognition and what about me? What about Ocho? But this time I know it's so true that I really can't. I'm almost. You're making me the stumbling, bumbling, rumbling idiot at this point.
Yeah, pal.
And thank you, by the way, because I do. I that's the only pride I take. Thanks for blowing up my spot, by the way, because that's what we had. That was the only thing that I could hold behind kayfabe.
Well, I mean, I just look. It's been a long time coming. You've been doing this for 6 to 8 months now. I mean, I just wanted everybody to know how hard you work dropping softwares. That's all. It's just. You deserve the credit. That's all, and that's all I'm going to say. We don't have to mention it ever again.
Maybe I should open up a class, do it once a week or once every 8 weeks, something like that. Hey, how to do software drops. So maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, you could. I think a lot of people would sign up for that. A lot more people than signed up for the Wrestling with Reality Patreon. But
Said think, and it almost sounded like you said thank. So I'm almost trying to figure out if you said I.
Do
think
I need to separate the two words somehow, or not use one of them? Maybe or.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, thank you, by the way, Robert. Because that is fun to hear. Finally, someone shining Ocho's ass for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't just shine your mask. We now shine your ass.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a new t-shirt. What are we doing? First segment? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, no, don't gloss over that. And now maybe we should say don't gloss over that should be a new t-shirt, too. We don't shine your mask. We shine your ass also. Oh, Jesus. You go ahead, man. Take it away.
Eli! He's back. Long story. He's still here.
Already?
He's we'll get into it later. Hey, t-shirt ideas. Yes. Both. Thank you. Okay.
Do we bump him down on the pay scale, though, because there was a gap?
Well,
that means more money for me.
We'll talk about that off air. We don't need to go over the company finances live here on the live to tape. And they used to say back in the day,
yes.
We used to do live to tape or better than Memorex or all that fucking shit and all that. Yeah, we're fucking old. Anyway,
I'm sorry. Live to tape thing always got me.
Yeah, no, I know it's fucking what it is. What it is. Jim Ross would be like, we're going to break. If anything happens, we got the tape machines rolling and we'll fucking fill you in and we come back. Like, wow, what if somebody gets pinned during the break? And now WWE just threw that all out the window and says, we're taking a break. Literally, nothing's going to fucking happen.
Nothing will happen.
We're going to be back. There's going to be
no. They're going to have a smoke. Someone's going to smoke a bowl, maybe, but we can't show that.
And I don't know.
Come back right in mid action.
And I don't know if you knew this, but during the COVID era last year, when they were filming at the Performance Center, they literally took a break. There's no fans there at all.
No, they would stop. I did.
And the local TV feed actually went early and went back to air.
And they saw them hanging on.
They're just fucking hanging out. Yeah. That's the fucking worst. Like, if kayfabe wasn't dead before, it was completely gone and kicked in the balls and just, it's horrible, dude. Anyway, that's for another time. We are in the first segment, which typically used to be the good, bad, and ugly, but is now the top five. So without further ado, Ocho, introduce the top five.
I can't because I actually thought this was a podcast that used to be about wrestling. So I came in with wrestling knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, we barely talk wrestling.
I watched this thing. Ken Patera faced Hulk Hogan, and it was an amazing match. I couldn't believe it. John Studd came out, ran to the ring. We're not going to discuss this at all, is what you're telling me?
During the Roman era, thousands used to flood the Colosseum to watch two gladiators go head-to-head in a fight to the death. Now, the stakes are even higher. There can be only one top five champion.
There can be only one.
This is the RTW Top 5 Challenge.
That intro still gives me a fucking boner every time I hear it. I'm just saying, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, but so does the intro to Golden Girls, so let's not like act like this is anything big.
Oh, my boner or the fact that I get one?
Take it how you want it.
Yeah, pal.
Growing pains, who's the boss, Golden Girls. We know they all give you boners.
You know, I didn't know the words to the Golden Girls. Not all the words to the Golden Girls song. And at the end of the song, they say, and the card attached says, thank you for being a friend. As a kid, I thought that said, and the heart attack thanks you for being a friend. Like, my wife's like, you're a fucking
because
idiot.
Because they're so old?
Because they're fucking old. I was like, the heart attack. That's thank you for being a friend. That's
a
what my
heart attack would say thank you for being a friend.
You're such a dick. All right. We are here for the top five. Let's introduce the challenger. Hailing from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Weighing 162 pounds.
168.
What's that in kilos?
He ate a cake this morning.
Oh, no, that's right, so. That was after the weigh-in. Former RTW Top 5 Challenge Champion. Stepping in for his... I don't even know. I think we'll get into that here in a second. Stepping in for his Uncle Daddy. It's Cousin E. Welcome back to the show, Cousin E. It's good to have you here. It's been a while.
Yeah, guys. It's great to be back here with you guys this week. You know, things have just been going so great for me. I mean, Sunday, it was my cousin's birthday. And, of course, I took home all the leftover pizza and cake. And, you know, my aunt said she feels so sorry for me, right? So she's always giving me cake. And I'm like, lady, I feel sorry for you because you won't have cake and pizza all week. Like, I'm just living it up here, right? But for real, guys, you know, I'm just happy that I'm here to help celebrate a momentous family occasion. And, you know, I found out Saturday night that my Uncle Tim and my mom have actually been engaged for the past 6 months and they're actually getting married tonight. And now I'm just so excited, you know. And however, you know, unfortunately, due to the immense disgrace I've bestowed upon my family through my losing ways each week, you know, I wasn't invited to the wedding, you know. And but good news, though. Because while I was on Aunt Becky's farm last week getting her goats and watching Peanut and the gang there jumping on those little rooftops, you know, I came across a rule in the good old top five rule book. All right. So it is the all's fair in love and karate tournaments family in-law rule. And it states if a family member is unable to rematch for their title due to a wedding, anniversary, birthday, or gender reassignment surgery, they're able to appoint a family member to take their place. So here I am. And although he may not have appointed me, I have appointed myself. So, you know, what better way than to surprise them, you know, with a great wedding gift of, you know, the elusive top five title belt, along with the added bonus of the $53 American prize money and the 2-for-1 Golden Corral coupon, drinks included, of course. And it's very gracious of you guys. And, you know, hopefully President Biden will let us into your country again. And, you know, when I win the all those prizes today, we'll be able to celebrate.
Yeah,
that was my rule. I put that in, yeah. By the way. That was the All's Fair and Love and Karate tournament, and I made sure that rule was in there. And I also explained that the Golden Corral must have lumpy potatoes. Mm-hmm. When you can get across the border in maybe 2088, then you're going to enjoy that coupon.
Yeah, it's still good. It doesn't expire, so you don't have to worry about that. Whenever you're allowed back in, it's going to be they'll accept it. We're in tight with them. Introducing the champion. He hails from Maximo Island. He weighs 14 stone, 2 kibbles.
And bits.
He is the reigning, defending, undisputed-ish RTW Top 5 Champion of the World, L. Barba, Maximo. Welcome to the show.
Yes, yes, you're welcome for me being here. Ocho asked me to tell you thank you for that wonderful introduction. I do not understand what that word is, but Ocho asks, I deliver.
You are a fighting champion, so it's good to have you here. You are the people's champion as well.
The people of Maximo Island, yes.
That's right. Tonight's top five topic was actually the champion's choice this week. El Barba Maximo sent a carrier pigeon to me that just got here about 15 minutes ago. Thank you for that, by the way.
Anytime.
Tonight's topic is the top five best hot sauces of all time. Now, Cousin E, I know you only had 15 minutes to prepare. Hopefully that was enough time for you to compile your list.
Yeah, fortunately, guys, you know how I am here. I actually had a top 100 list of hot sauces.
That's okay. That's why you're always prepared. Unlike your uncle, daddy, dunkle. He's not as prepared as you are. And I think I even mentioned that last week, that you are clearly more prepared than he ever was. So I'm glad you're on top of that. And I'm sure if he was here, he'd be like, well, you saw that video too, on top of that. So, yeah.
I do got to come clean, guys. I may have helped do some of his homework last week.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
He's sorry, Ocho.
And he do got to come clean. And he is sorry. Yes. Hey, is the board game... sorry, spelled S-O-R-E-Y in Canada. Now that I'm just thinking about it.
How else would you spell it?
Oh, no, you're right. I'm just wanted to see if I could win my spelling bee in Canada.
I think you do very well, Ocho. You're a master of, wait, hold on.
I'm sorry about interrupting. That's all.
You're a jack of all trades and a masturbator of one.
Generally.
That's me, actually. That's.
I mean, are you using the jack and master at the same time also? Because you still missed a golden opportunity. Go ahead, Rob. Take it away.
Actually, it's your turn, Ouch. This is the time of the first segment here in the top five where you pick who goes first. Since you're the official, you need to officially decide who will officially go first.
I don't like this pressure. I really don't. I don't want to. I'm doing a favor. I did a favor for a friend who knew a friend who said, thank you for being a friend. And now I'm here. All right. Well, as we know, I want the champ to go first. So, Six, you go first.
How many weeks are we going to keep doing the same old tired shit? Like, how much more can we get out of this whole thing?
Just in case everyone doesn't know, Rob is literally taking old bits from me and putting them in as a dub. So he's just – it's not really me talking. He's actually planting me every time, which I probably said months ago, and now he's still going to interject it. Six, you go first.
All right. Since you can't properly do your job, I'll do it for you.
And he might say that, which means that he's probably still going to make like I'm interjecting as I'm me, but I'm not even here. It's all overdub.
Are any of us really here?
We are all on Roadcaster.
He's right. He's right about that. All right. If you don't want to do it, I'll do it again this week. Champ usually does go first, which I kind of swerved everybody and then had Tim go first last week. So this week, Six, you go first. All right, well, Six isn't going first, so Champ, why don't you go first this week?
Wait. Let him go first. Let Six go first. Okay.
What's that, Eli? Six isn't here again.
This lazy bastard.
Barba, I guess you got to go first then, man. Go ahead. What you got for okay. Number five?
El Barba will tell you El Barba's five most top favorite good sauces that are hot and burning and still taste good.
Okay.
My number five, it is part of recipe from a list six to eight weeks back. It is a bullwhip, kelp, and piri-piri hot sauce. It is made in Alaska. It has a depth of flavor that will ignite taste buds and warm your mouth with a nice umami flavor and heat. It won People's Choice honors in Juneau at 2020 Alaska Symphony of Seafood.
What's the name of the sauce?
Oh, it's the Bullwhip Kelp and Piri Piri Hot Sauce.
Cousin E, what do you have for your number five, top five greatest hot sauces of all time?
All right, so this is Heartbeat's hottest sauce yet. All right, so this new recipe features Trinidad scorpion peppers to help get your blood pumping. It has a unique combination of beets, red bell peppers, and chipotles in a Spanish adobo marinade. The sauce is especially good on eggs, pizza, and tacos. It's also the name of my favorite Mortal Kombat character. It's Scorpion.
You know, Ocho, I'm not a fan of the Trinidad peppers. I'm more of a Carolina Reaper fan myself. You know, I go with the American products. Like, I don't like to outsource my peppers. You know, like you gotta pay for
my American. Yeah,
yeah, you got to pay for taxes and shipping and yeah, I mean, they come over in the containers from Trinidad. It's a mess. You know, I'd rather just get them locally. And then you have the kelp, sea pepper, salt water, and crawdaddy. Sauce from Maximo. What do you think, man?
Made in Alaska.
Which is American, technically. No, this actually, it's not as difficult as you guys might think. Everybody knows the old saying, all I did was adobo the chicken, and Cousin E is up 1-0 with that.
Congratulations.
Why is there a bell? It doesn't make any sense.
Is that going to trigger you every week?
What?
Cousin E, you're up 1-0, which might be the first time ever in the history of this competition you've ever gone up 1-0. So, hey, you got that going for you. And hold on, before you get into number four here, I assume, I know you had cake like from the festivities and all that and pizza and all, but did you have a top five cake today?
Well, my mom's going to be a little mad, but when she said load the wedding cake into the back of the van, I may have brought it down to the basement boiler room.
That's my boy. Very, very, very smart decision you made there.
Smart. Yeah. Definitely smart.
Absolutely. El Barba Maximo, I'm very interested to hear what is your number four in the top five best hot sauces of all time.
Well, my number four come in at about 21,000 Scoville units. Nice medium heat. It's a habanero, mango, banana, pineapple base. Winning all kind of awards since 2006. One of the mottos is world's greatest. No brag, just fact. This is a dirty dick hot sauce.
I really wish Tim was here for this. I'm sorry. I really do. Like, come on. All right. So, again, Ocho.
This is being recorded, so Cousin E can probably, promote this to Uncle Tim, right? Can you after the wedding and after the honeymoon or something? Or
do you think it's over? Like, could we call him right now, or is that rude?
Well, that might ruin the surprise, though, guys. I mean, like I said, he doesn't know I invoked that rule today.
Oh, that's right. He has the rule. That's a good point. He thinks it's a bye.
Let's just wait.
We'll wait to the end so we can surprise him with the with the belt.
Yeah.
Then we can tell him about how Richard down the street his dirty dick sauce was just number 4 on Barbara's list.
So. Gotcha.
He'll be pretty excited about that because my mom's always talking about how she loves putting dirty dick sauce all over her.
You know, I'm not a fan of bananas with my mangoes and habaneros, so.
Remember the bananas and pajamas? That was the whole freaking thing that happened months ago now. Jeez.
Well, you're no judge. Give it to Ocho to seize him how he calls him.
Sees him how he likes him and calls him like he sees him and just go, Rob. God damn it.
Cousin E, what do you have for your number 4 top 5 best hot sauces of all time?
All right, so the label of this Fireworks Foods sauce states, fire in your mouth, fire down below, a real butt burner. This sauce does more than burn your palate. It shreds your anal membranes. This is a Costa Rican-style sauce right from Louisiana, made with red habanero peppers, carrots, and some scotch bonnet peppers, a little onion and vinegar thrown in. It's no fat, no carb. It's red rectum hot sauce.
Okay, just to paint a picture of what just happened, Ocho.
This is an anatomical depiction of hot sauces tonight, right?
It is, which is why I think you're perfectly qualified since you are.
I'm very generalized, though. Yeah, that's the problem. Well, not specific.
That's true. You're not anally specific usually either. This show is built for Tim. I hate to keep bringing it up. I hate to be a broken record, but I mean, these are softballs, if Tim was here. Ocho, we have the Dirty Dick Hot Sauce.
Now, that is actually a video coming up in queue on OnlyFans.com/Mark's Mom. It's called These Are Softballs.
Gotcha. Okay, that's good to know. We got Dirty Dick's Hot Sauce against Burning Rectum.
Rectum damn near killed him kind of thing.
So what do you think? It's a tough decision.
This is probably the closest call I've ever had in my life because, I mean, do I like the Dirty Dick? I'm not sure. But do I like the Burning Rectum damn near killed him? I'm not sure. But I feel like at least the Dirty Dick is a protrusion and not an intrusion. So I'm going to go with the Dirty Dick and Maximo has this one. What the fuck is the bell for? It makes no sense.
El Barba Maximo, you are officially on the board. The score is tied at 1 apiece. We're moving into our third round.
That hurt, by the way. Not the bell, but just that whole thought process for that one. That was probably in the history, 6-8 months of this? That's the hardest question, no pun intended, that I've had to answer.
El Barba Maximo, what do you have for your number 3 in the top 5 greatest hot sauces of all time?
Well, this hot sauce, it may actually help with your burning rectum hot sauce. It has won a third place in 2001 Massachusetts State Sauce Contest at the Pig and Pepper. And if you think it's hot when you eat it, wait till you take a seat it, because it burns both ways. This is called Hemorrhoid Helper.
Cousin E, what do you have for your number 3 in the top 5 greatest hot sauces of all time?
So this butt blazing recipe was the 4th concoction created by Professor Payne Indiasis. Its ingredients, habanero peppers, soy sauce, vinegar, garlic, and a little xanthan gum. With a heat rating of 250,000 Scoville units, it's anal angst.
So Hemorrhoid Helper against anal angst. God, I mean, you thought the last one was tough, Ouch. I mean, what would you rather?
It's actually a little easier because there's far too many in my endos that Cousin E is starting to throw out, like, what is it, in my asso, or whatever he said. And he said, read that whole thing again, Cousin E, and I'll point him out as you go along.
This butt-blazing recipe was the fourth concoction created by Professor Pain in the Asses.
Yes, pain in your asses.
Ingredients: habanero peppers, soy sauce, vinegar, garlic, xanthan gum.
Gum!
250,000 heat rating, anal angst.
And then angst, not anal. So I think he's just trying to tug at us. No pun intended again. Maximo wins this one because now he's just trying to throw little innuendos out there. What is the bell for? It makes no sense.
El Barba Maximo, you are now in the lead. The score is 2-1. We're moving into the final two answers.
No surprise, El Barba is champion for reasons.
How many reasons?
He's still alive, by the way.
Four reasons?
Thank God for this.
All the reasons.
El Barba Maximo, what is your number two in the top five greatest hot sauces of all time?
Yeah, this hot sauce is one of El Barba's personal favorites. It comes in only at about 500 Scoville, very weak, but pack a very good flavor. It is nice and spicy with cayenne and a little touch of sweet and sour sauce. Perfect to go on just about anything from tacos to pizza to steak even, you know. It's one of the notable employees of their past is Lee Harvey Oswald. Everybody knows who he is, what he did. And the recipe...
What he may have done, by the way. Let's not go there.
Cousin E doesn't know. I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. well, maybe he go on Vision Quest like the founder of this recipe did. It was a shaman. This is called a tiger sauce.
So from the makers of Charmin, we have tiger sauce. That makes sense because, I mean, you know, the whole poop thing. And, yeah, that's a good deal.
Yes, tigers, bears, lions, Charmin bears.
Oh, my.
Cousin E, what do you have for your number two in the top five greatest hot sauces of all time?
All right, let's just say this hot sauce didn't get its name by mistake. It's a rich Caribbean-style mustard that goes well on just about anything. Ingredients include scotch bonnet peppers, mustard, salt, onions, water, a little turmeric, sugar, and some sodium benzoate as a preservative. Manufactured by by sauce creators. It's Professor Fart Pounder's new and approved all-natural elixir of capsaicin extremis. It's the colon cleaner.
Wow, you're really going for the ass tonight, aren't you? That's okay.
El Barba is calling bullshit here. This is ridiculous. Cousin E is obviously looking at El Barba's superior list. This was El Barba's number one pick. Now I must think off top of head for next round.
Oh shit!
This is
I wouldn't.
Cousin E ruins everything again.
Don't feed this to bulls. It's not good for them.
But it makes them shit. It pounds their farts.
Well, this has never happened, Oach. I don't think anybody has ever picked anybody.
This is very much stressful on El Barba now. Well, Ocho, do your job.
You know, hold on.
What if Maximo wins this one? He doesn't have to worry about his next answer.
That's
then,
what I was
right?
going to say. Right.
But if his number one can't be his number two,
that means that
what are you going to do?
Then if Cousin E wins this one, he automatically wins, or does Maximo have to get on the dial-up AOL internet and try and hope that the fax machine clogs in and...
Maximo has it.
That's how they do it.
This Maximo like has some... many hot sauces in brain. We'll think of better number one because obviously pounding farts and colon cleansing. It's, obviously, it's number two.
This just sounds like some shenanigans going on over here. I think he's just trying to fake us out. I think he's got a number one already.
Are you faking a suit? Maximo, answer the question. I'm the judge. Calls it like I sees it. Are you faking a suit?
Maximo fakes nothing out.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion before you go there, Ocho?
I'm not going anywhere. The game might be over, but it might not be. All right, I'm saying.
Let me ask Eli something real quick.
Eli! Can they have the same answer? I mean, it's one's two, one's one.
Well, it's not on this one.
Hold on. I'm conferring with the rules expert here.
That's what I thought. No, that makes sense.
Eli said El Barba Maximo could still use that same answer for his number one because it's not his number two. So, I mean, it's up to the champion if he wants to use that answer against Mark's number one or go with something completely different entirely. You can make your decision now.
But I have it because I don't want to make anything go farther than it should or end it quicker than it should. So I'm at a little bit of a loss right now because I have my answer. Calls it like I sees it.
Like you always do.
What do I do?
I mean, do we need time to think about it? Do we need to take a break? Or
no, I'm asking you, what do? Do I give my answer?
Oh, you're literally asking me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, to continue. I have an answer who won this one. That's what it is.
Okay. And let's just say for everybody, hold on, Barbara. Let's just say that so we know that this is on the up and up, and this has never happened before. You have an answer, but was it called like you normally see it?
It's an audio podcast.
What's your answer?
Just
give me your answer. Jesus Christ.
So here's what happened. Unfortunately, again, great answers, but cayenne pepper is the main ingredient in the Master Cleanse, which is how people try to freaking poop out all the bad stuff in their body for a week or 2 weeks. And Cousin E has this one, so we're actually tied. And then I feel bad because Maximo's answer, that was number one, but he says, yes, I have many answers about fart and anus and expulsion. So I trust him. What do I do, man? So technically, Cousin E wins this one, and we're tied up. I thought it was going to be a sweep by Maxine. What is the bell for? It makes no sense.
We're all knotted up 2-2.
Balloon knotted, according to all the rectal references.
That's fair. We are down to the final answer. Ocho, please intro the number one.
No.
There can be only one number one top five greatest hot sauces of all time.
There can be only one.
El Barba Maximo, we have a bit of a conundrum. Do you want to use your current number one, or would you like to change your answer? Either way, you must provide your number one top five greatest hot sauces of all time.
Well, El Barba is championship for many reasons, most of which knowledge is very much good brain big. So El Barba was searching through head, thinking of which hot sauce is better than Fart Pounder Colon Cleansing Magic Sauce. So it is come down to this. Number one is Frank's Red Hot, simply because that shit goes on everything.
You know, if I had to go for an answer, that's exactly where I would have gone. El Barba, you win this point. Oh, I can't do that. Sorry. Great answer, Barba. That's big brain. You're right.
I thought you were serious, actually. I'm like,
it's a great answer, right?
Bell, yeah. So I could yell, and then I was going to go, actually, that does make sense.
No, absolutely. But unfortunately, we do have to give Cousin E his due here.
Why is that unfortunate? Hold on, wait a second. Why is that unfortunate that you have to let the other guy compete in the same fair competition that Barbara Maxime? What is it? Unfortunately, as much as we wanted to throw this gimmick, people are going to think this is a fucking stage.
No, nothing.
Or shenanigans.
Nothing is planned here. This is all legit. It's all on the up and up.
I'm sorry, Cousin E, and I've been ripping on you for freaking 6-8 months now. I am sorry that he just did that. That's atrocious.
As a registered qualified host of podcast, I do apologize if I sounded impartial there or partial.
For saying, unfortunately, we do have one more answer that might win. We just don't know yet because I'd rather have this guy win. What a dick. Fucking Rob, man. All right, go ahead. I'm okay. I'm fine.
I'm also not the ref. So, I mean,
I'm just causing it like I sees it. Right, when I see some asshole doing that, unfortunately, we have to let another guy actually give his answer. It kind of gets me upset. I'm passionate about this. That's why I'm the Earl Hebner of the top five.
You are, and I'm sorry for that. But I mean, I guess I can be partial because I don't have a dog in fights. Not my circus, not my monkeys.
But then why would you be partial? That makes no sense.
I'm not judging, so I can do whatever I want. It's my show.
All right, that's a good point.
Cousin E, what is your number one in the top five greatest hot sauces of all time?
Well, I gotta say when Barbara throws out Frank's hot sauce, you know, I was a little scared because, I mean, when Frank from across the street comes over, Mom's like, ooh, I can't wait for some of Frank's sauce. He just puts that thing on everything, you know. But you know what? My sauce, I think my sauce is going to win here because, you know, my soon new to me daddy, Tim, he enjoys this daily. And, you know, he also has a collection of videos supposedly out on my mom's fan site with a similar name. And, you know, the description reads, it doesn't take a genius, but a chili head to figure out what's wrong with your sphincter. Come on. After chugging down a bottle of hot sauce, especially this one, what the heck do you expect your rectum to do? It's Tahiti Joe's finest brew. It's Analyze This Triple X Garlic Hot Sauce.
Are these Canadian only hot sauces? I've never heard of these, and they're really, really angry and like harmful to your anal glands. I
know of all these, by the way.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's why I'm the judge.
I mean, I like spicy foods, but I literally have never heard of it. Like, that sounds horrifying. Why would anybody want to do that to their anus?
Well, this sauce includes clam juice, so you got that going for it. Whatever that means.
Front and back, you know?
Whatever that means.
Ah, man. Man, oh, man.
I tell you.
It's not fair that I have to be put in this position every night. I'm like the mayor, and here's my town council, and I got people like they want their public forum. They have to speak their mind, and I have to be polite about it. Even though you guys pay me, I still feel like I'm over you. But Frank's Red Hot wins it because that's like the knuckleball of everything. You know, nobody can hit a knuckleball and nobody says no to Frank's Red Hot. That's that simple. What the fuck does the bell mean? It makes no sense.
It means that a Barba is championship still.
El Barba Maximo. You are still the reigning, defending, undisputed RTW Top 5 Challenge Champion of the World. Before we get to what you guys have to say in the post-game comments, let's go down to ringside and get the official word from Howard Sphincter.
The time of fall, again way too long, however slightly entertaining and still... Luckily, not beheaded, not drawn and quartered, although the denomination is less out there, so drawn and nickeled, I guess, El Barba Maximo!
Congratulations, El Barba Maximo, on another successful title defense. Before we get to what you have to say, let's get with the loser. I mean, the second place, E., What How you feeling, buddy?
Well, we just get Eli to just hit a race when we're done recording here, and then we'll just record a new episode without me in it. That way, my new dad won't find out what I did this week.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
Thank you.
El Barba Maximo, how do you feel on another thrilling victory?
El Barba knows victory is expected. Another recording not happening. El Barba time is much too valuable for that. You're welcome for me being championship again. And in honor of El Barba holding championship for so long, Maximo Island has decided to name a region after podcast. It is the Rad Turtle region of Maximo Island is from where El Barbo is coming from.
Barbo, you're a little bit behind. There? Yeah, you're a little bit behind. It's not called that anymore.
Well, it is in El Barbo and in Maximo Island.
Okay. Well, I mean,
we have region now. I can see what happened. Maybe next time change it. Who knows?
Okay.
It's a big government procedure. All right. It was supposed to be honor, and you
get honor hemorrhoid helper. That's you're right. That's a good point.
Yeah, if you can work that out, that would be great. If you just talk to your local parliament, let me know what happens.
Yes, we see what is going on. But either way, I am championship. All hail El Barba.
So we had to write them down on it was a visual Skype for the first time because it was me, Durban, and Cal. So he had to make sure nobody was cheating. You're not even listening or anything.
I'm absolutely listening to you. I got you, buddy.
Welcome back to RTW Main Event.
Welcome back to the second segment of this edition of the Main Event. If you
a lot
missed
of ums in that one, by the way,
God damn it,
of you, this edition of the Main Event of the second segment of the Rad Rob Show of Ocho and Rad Rob hanging out of the Main Event.
You know, I don't think I've ever gotten through any intro to a segment without you interrupting me.
Ouch you.
If you missed this past Sunday's RTW Rewind, please go back and check it out. Dr. Jargo, another doctor, which actually is, he's a doctor of...
Specific?
Yes. He's a doctor of specificities. He's a doctor of specificities? How do you say that?
Specificities, maybe? Specificities. But actually, that's not a real thing either, so...
Oh.
Eli, cut that out.
He told me he was a doctor. Dr. Jargo of HMG joined me to talk about... Well, this is actually right up your alley, and it's not bowling. We talked about the original lineup of KISS from 1974 to 1979. So if you missed that, Ocho, which I'm sure you did, you can go back and listen to it. And where can you find it?
Wherever podcasts are found, in my wood-burning stove, under a lamppost, wherever they're found, in a trench somewhere, you never know.
I asked Vinny Rue, your buddy, if he wanted to come on and chop it up with us, but he was doing something more important, which I don't see what could be more important than doing a show on KISS, but he was with Jeff Lane doing Castrating the Marks, so I gave him a pass on that one. But you would have enjoyed this show. We literally talked about KISS, which I...
He might have been actually picking out a pair of socks or something like that.
He might have been. I mean, maybe he's just being nice. I don't know.
Very important stuff.
But it was KISS 1974 to 1979. Anywhere podcasts are found, RTW Rewind, go back and check it out. Oh, Joe, check it out too, because you'll probably won't learn anything because you know everything.
I'll be bummed I wasn't invited. Like I get to do this show, and yay for me!
You told me you were busy on Wednesday nights. Something about Tecmo Bowl? Or...
I'm busy Thursdays, the day this show comes out.
I thought Tecmo Bowl was your Wednesday night thing.
Look. I'm very flexible. I do DDP yoga, so my schedule can change.
Let's get into the second
segment. No, I'm upset, man. Fuck this. Where you really did a Kiss episode?
We did. 1974 to 1979. And we dabbled
you come
a little
bit. And you're like, I did something right in your wheelhouse. We talked about Paul Orndorff. And I'm like, fuck, I know this guy. Every week, we did the 85 to 88 fucking WWF. I'm like, holy shit, something I literally would like to talk about. You fucking do this every fucking week. And now, and then I got to do this goddamn debacle of an abortion every week about being the best ref and calling it like I sees it. There's actually something I'd be interested in. Instead, I got to show up here playing Tecmo Bowl in the middle of this and doing this damn show. I don't feel better, but I'm glad I got it out.
Okay, good.
I'm going to software drop this to make sure it stays in.
We even dabbled into 82, 83, you know, a little bit of the unpainting.
You son of a bitch!
Maybe you can come on for 84 through 89? No,
I'm upset. Now I'm busy. Now I'm busy. Although I've never had an invite, so, I mean, I guess I can't be too busy to not know when the invite is.
I'll send you one. I'll let you know when it is so you can...
Yeah, I'd rather decline and say, like, yeah, I got to decline at least, and then just instead of...
Fuck. So you at least want me to give you the option.
Yeah, right, so then I can be like, hey, check out me. I would have done that, but I'm too good for it.
Okay, I got you. Hold on. Eli! That's
Ocho an invitation to rewind. I don't know, pick a day.
Yeah, make sure it's not dated like the freaking, August, or March or something of 2020, because I'm up on that too.
This year.
Okay, got it.
Post-pandemic, if that ever happens.
It is now time for the second segment, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's now time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, Ouch, what do you got for your good?
I am so upset right now. Oh, my God. I am so upset right now. Everything that is in my realm, not network, just realm, I get ignored. And then I have to do this. This dumb thing.
For my good, much like our good friend Mike Durban did on the Midnight Mike show about a month ago when he had no answer. Nothing.
I wasn't ready for that. Sorry, I was chewing some Skittles.
Yeah, and ham steaks and mashed potatoes and fried chicken. Pork loins, brisket,
ribs. So that really, you got nothing? Are you upset at me?
Nothing.
Fair enough. My good is the fact that you come here and do the show each and every week. It's literally my favorite time of the week, doing the show with you. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed doing the show with you over the last 6 to 8 months.
You can tell me. I'm a doctor. You can tell doctors anything.
I have enjoyed doing this show so much. I literally
about to choke on a Skittle.
Yeah, Tony Schiavone almost did that too. I literally get literally. I can't chew with a mouthful, obviously. I'm also missing two teeth from last week, so it's hard to chew now.
And this is zero Vicodin this week, folks.
Yeah, no, we're clean. That's why I'm...
Folks! Sorry, I said it the wrong way.
I enjoy doing the show so much. I literally get an erection every time I send you the link to the show, you pop on the screen.
Well, usually I'm late to the screen, so do you get the boner as you send it, or when I... Come on, because I'll be like, look, I'm busy. I got things to do, and I hate this show. I don't want to be here. I have a lot of excuses about why I'm going to be late. I wish I was dead, that kind of thing. which part gives you the boner? When I actually come up on the screen or the sending of the link? Or is there like a precursor where like the endorphins start going and then you have that anticipation of like, is she going to send me her boobs? I don't know. Oh my God, I asked for them. But, oh, no, the cops got called. Like kind of that.
I get the chub when I send the link. So it's just kind of a pregame, you know, just getting the blood flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually show up and I see your
full
beautiful,
on.
Full on see your beautiful mask there, I fucking old glory and standing at attention.
The captain is aware. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's nice of you.
That's my good.
I'm glad I have that effect on the folk in the world.
What do you got for your back?
I don't know how I'm supposed to take that. I don't know.
I mean, that's fine. You can take it any way you want.
Oh, good, good. No, good. I didn't know I was supposed to expand on that. Like,
No. You don't have to say anything at all.
Boner? Okay, good.
It's pretty awkward. Cool. So, I mean, you know, you don't have to talk about it at all.
No, that's on you. And that's on which.
Well, I mean, you are a doctor and, you know about dicks. So, you know.
I mean, I guess I do. I mean, I know the anatomy of it. Okay, what's going on now?
What's your bad?
Okay. Nothing.
All right, so my bad.
There's another Durband, by the way.
So my bad.
My bad.
My bad.
I know. Go ahead.
So I went to Burger King this past weekend. Saturday, to be
this
exact.
This last every day of the last 8 years.
This last every day that ends in Y. no, I went to Burger King on Saturday. And I wanted to, they had this promotional thing called the Chick King, which is the Chicken King, the new chicken sandwich, versus the Whopper. And they want you to pick between the two. The Whopper has been around for, 50?
80 years? 80
yeah, I mean,
years maybe?
60, like 60 that, right? to 80 years, right? No joke. It's literally, you know, they're the home of the Whopper, for fuck's sake. That's mm-hmm. on all their, you know, it used to be on their buildings.
That's the national anthem. And the home of the Whopper.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's ingrained. It's Americana.
Jeez.
So now with the new hand-breaded delicious chicken sandwiches that they have, they want you to pick your favorite. That, to me, is not fair. Why should I? It's like picking between, you know, your two of your kids. And while you secretly do on the inside, but you'll never tell your wife or your baby mama that, you know, that.
Or you'll only tell the kids eventually when they're grown up.
Yeah, when they can handle it. Right, sure.
When the inheritance comes out, right. Yes, you tell them
but
why.
Typically, you don't want to do that in general. It's just bad practice. Look, I love the Whopper. I've been eating Whoppers since I was born. My mom probably ate Whoppers while I was growing inside of her vaginal tubes.
She might have put Whoppers in her belly button just so they'd go down into the freaking cord. I mean,
she might have. I mean, it's back in the 70s, they did some weird shit, right? So who knows?
And I'm jealous that my mom didn't.
Yeah, I know.
Because I had to eat all of mine afterwards, and I am a King Whopper man.
I mean, you feel my pain. Like, you love the Whopper. Like, it's ingrained in your history.
I could taste it right now. Ate 5 Whoppers at one sitting, which was one of the worst things I've ever done in my life. Yes, folk, 5 Whoppers. Ocho could eat some grub because he was a growing boy. And I missed about 4 classes after that because I couldn't move. But,
I mean, when
they were $1 Whoppers, man.
They used to be a dollar, that's right. Back in the, early to mid-90s?
It was 1995, going to hard tissue pathology.
Yep.
And I missed hard tissue. Then I missed anatomy. And I missed, luckily, it was the afternoon classes, so I missed 2 classes. However, I just had to lay on the couch and let Borborygmus take place. Everybody, look up Borborygmus.
So I mean, that's pretty impressive. Really, I can't say I've done that many.
I was an eater, and 4 Big Macs were easy. 5 Big Macs were easy.
Well, I mean, you're lifting too, right? I mean, you need to get your calories. You're lifting too.
I was in shape. I was playing hockey, but that. I ate 80. Now we're pulling back the curtain a little bit, and I know you're on your bad still, and we're going to get to it. Yeah. I had 85 buffalo wings in one sitting once, 73 buffalo wings in another sitting once, And I'm not proud, but look, I only spent $8 on the damn thing. So I win. But I felt the worst I ever felt in my entire life after eating five Whoppers.
No shit.
And it was great. It was $5.24 because of tax. And I couldn't believe how ecstatic I was. And I was eating, and they were like, yeah, you go get them. You can eat all that. And now I'm drooling thinking about how good they were.
Yeah.
But I still don't miss that feeling of laying down. I had to go home and miss my last two classes. And I said, sign me in because I got a problem. And tell him, hey, I'm signing him in because he ate five Whoppers and maybe they'll appreciate it. They didn't.
No, that's unfortunate. I appreciate it.
They were like, why didn't he just get a freaking sandwich? And they were like, well, you just don't get it. Go ahead.
That's actually...
Now I peel back the curtain a little bit because now I'm giggling about it.
I mean, that's...
Worst I ever felt.
That's one of the greatest stories you've ever told me. So that's fantastic. You know, what's funny is back in the day when that was going on, I would go to Burger King, get two Whoppers for $2.10 with the tax in Connecticut.
Easy. Yep.
Go to Wendy's when they had the fucking Biggie Fries for a dollar. And I used to get a Biggie Fry. Then I'd go to fucking 7-Eleven, get the 89-cent super big gulp. And for less than $5, I had a fucking giant meal. Like, it was amazing. Like, that was...
Were they next to each other? Or did
they were pretty much in the same... Yeah, we're all within a quarter mile of each other. So it was beautiful. Right, maybe a fucking little circle rotation, and I was good to go. I miss those days. It's you can't even get anything for a dollar anymore. It is a dollar. It's like
no, but it's also it was the eat for tomorrow mantra too. You know, you have to find your meals where you can get them. And
true,
you know, we're not having a tuna tartare,
right? Yeah,
you know, as we're you know 19 years old. You know, yeah. 20
well, then
years
you
old.
Go to Taco Bell and get like 59 cent tacos and shit like that too. So
that was the only thing I never found out. Never, but I'll always learn.
You're not a fan of Taco Bell, or you never ate there?
Oh, no, I always loved to know what I was getting. I'd be like, it's a taco. What am I going to do? A Whopper? You know what you're already, it's a luxurious, I'm going to get Whoppers tonight. I'm going, Jimmy, stop it.
God damn it, Jimmy. I'm hungry too. I might just hit BK up when we're done here. They're up until
so, night. Go ahead. This is your. Anyway. Yeah, I know. Off the rails, like you always like to say. But that was worth it.
That was right fun. There. No, that
fucking
was
fucking worth it.
That was fucking worth it. Well, my bad is the fact that
I'm explaining how lousy I felt, and now I want to go eat the same thing that right. made me feel so lousy. Ain't that fun?
It's all about nostalgia. No, my bad is the fact that I had to pick between the new chicken, and the fucking Whopper, and I felt. Conflicted. I didn't know what I should do. I mean, I didn't know if I was supposed to tell anybody when I was done. Like, do I go up to the cashier and be like, all right.
Is there a survey? Like, okay.
No, there wasn't a survey. I checked online. There's nothing there. I didn't know who I was supposed to tell. So I guess I'm going to tell the whole world right now for the very first time. Breaking news. That chicken sandwich is fucking the bomb, dude. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked it more than a Whopper. Maybe it's because the Whopper was sitting in the heat unit for a while and it wasn't fresh.
That doesn't mean anything.
I don't know, man.
Five stale Whoppers and they'll still be amazing. Come on.
I mean, I'd still love the Whopper, but really, if you haven't eaten that chicken sandwich yet, dude, go get it. Especially the spicy one. It's the fucking bomb. I'm telling you.
What's it called?
The Chick King.
I'm getting it tomorrow.
Okay, good. Good deal. Get the Whoppers tonight. Get the fucking Chick King tomorrow.
I'll get two of each.
Okay, cool. What do you have for your ugly?
Oh, you're going to love this.
Okay, cool.
Nothing.
Right on. All right, so my ugly. I'm not going to name names. We went off on somebody last week, and I'm pretty sure that person got the message. But I will change the name to protect the identity of this one stuttering retard individual.
Oh, so it's not T.L. Hopper this week.
No, it's somebody different. We'll just call him Stuttering John. That's what we'll call him. Stuttering John went on a Facebook page of somebody that we know.
I know too?
Yeah. Well, you know of them. I don't think you've ever actually... you've spoken to that person. You were on his show maybe once.
His show?
anyway.
Fuck.
Stuttering John went on this page and did a live stream and was upset at the fact that I've been calling him out on his bullshit lately. It's not TL. It's completely unrelated.
Is it Mantar?
No, not Mantar.
Fuck. No.
He actually went and got a background check from me, Joe Feeney, and Michael Durband. And posted screenshots of them. As you guys know, I was very public about the arrests that I had 15 years ago, and the only one I've ever had in my entire life. He went on the stream and completely distorted the truth, gave out blatant misinformation, including my full name, my birth date, made up a complete fabrication of it's, look, in all seriousness, I'm...
Hey, have you been giving us half names, by the way? Because you said your full name, so I just want to know. Your half name is not Radicalized Robert?
Not legally. Not legally.
Oh, all right. Now I'm kind of pissed a little bit.
It's a nickname. That's not my legit name.
Gotcha.
Radicalized is my legit name. Rob is not.
Gotcha. Roberto.
Yes.
Hence your Dominican heritage.
Yes. You can tell by my tan.
Mm-hmm.
So this stuttering fuckwit went and made up the complete fucking untruths. Said some very slanderous things that could damage reputation and career because they're literally not true. And, I mean, you could even look in the case file. Oh, wait, it's not. You can't look in the case file because it's been expunged. Because it was a misdemeanor 15 fucking years ago. But this guy wants to go and say that I'm a felon and I had to leave the state because I was embarrassed. That's litigious, and I'm even looking into getting a lawyer into it. So stuttering fuckwit, stuttering John, if you're listening to this, I'm coming for you, legally. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's my ugly.
That's pretty damn ugly. If there's legal grounds, then sure.
Yeah.
Especially if what public information is still public information until it's not.
Until it's not, and...
It's when... It's almost like there's an accomplice or something at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There was, I will say this. You remember the...
How would somebody get something that was already expunged when... that's it.
I know who gave him the information. And I won't say his name either, but you saw the movie Unbreakable, right?
Nope. Nothing.
You literally never saw... Unbreakable.
No, well, maybe I did, but you.
Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis. It was the M. Night Shyamalan movie. No, doesn't ring a bell. Okay.
I saw The Money Pit.
No, The Money Pit was a great movie. Actually, I love that movie. Tom Hanks was great.
I saw The Money Pit.
Okay. Well, let's just say Samuel L. Jackson played a person with it was a degenerative disorder. Like his bones were super, super brittle. Anytime he'd ever fall down, ever since he was a kid. His bones would just shatter. And
Scurvy. It's scurvy.
Yeah, scurvy, gotcha. So it's a real thing.
I don't know if that's in the movie, but that's what scurvy does. Like,
no, but he was prone to a wheelchair. So there is one super psychotic jackass that rolls around in a wheelchair that gave him this information. He's kind of just playing the evil doctor. So he'll be dealt with at 1.2. But yeah, the case is not public. He made it public, which that's got to be illegal, right? I mean, that should be any ground. That should be grounds to sue if a case has been expunged and it's no longer public knowledge.
When it should, but how did they get it then? Even still, which also means they know somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why the government
can't trust them.
We got to keep our eye on them.
Yep. That's my ugly.
Oh man. That is ugly. All right, did I go first or did you?
No, you went first. I literally have nothing else to segue with. So you can do your little gimmick and we'll move on to the next one.
How do we transfer onto this?
I don't know, it's pretty dark, isn't it? Yeah. I kind of.
Cuz that's like you've slandered your name enough and admitted your slanderous business, which I don't mean it like that. I mean like you've owned everything you said and we're all kind of fucked up. But we still have yet to harm anybody, ever.
Yeah.
We've harmed nobody.
It's just a fucking podcast. just podcast wars.
And yet, there's still people that just want to do their thing. And look, even still, to make it more than what it was, and then to try and expound on that, to I'm going to get ornery. So I'm just, how do we cut this off? How do we cut this off? For real. Help me out. Help me help you at this point.
You know everybody.
It's still, it's, well, then what?
And then what? You're doing a show with me. And Vince Russo. I mean, that's cool, right? Hey, I feel, you're a star. I'm happy to do a show with you every week. Everybody knows who you are.
You should be.
Welcome back to RTW Main Event.
This is the third and final segment of this week's main event. Typically, it would be the new intellect of the week with the unknown happy person, but Polyester the Evil Taylor has reared his ugly threads, has filed an injunction to not let this new guy do his segment this week. So we're going to have to figure that out. We'll get our legal team on that again. And hopefully we can have it back next week. And I guess I got to kind of fill in for that. I wasn't really prepared for that. Eli just told me during the break. So what do you want to talk about, Oach?
You're the damn host.
All right, fine.
I just come here every freaking week unwillingly.
All right. I'm calling an audible. Let's talk about some headlines.
Here's what's going on in the world of pro wrestling in this week's RTW News Desk.
Calling an audible, but had something queued up, ready to go. How about that, folks?
I was a Cub Scout. I was always prepared. Well, I mean, I was half prepared. Boy Scouts were prepared. I didn't get to Weeblos. I got to, like, Bear Scout, and I'm like, this sucks. And I quit.
Plus, half the shit, you just had to get checked off, and they'd be like, yeah, I know you did it.
No, you're fine. That's fair. But I always have this stuff loaded up in a handy old trusty Roadcaster. So.
Right on, man. Good for you, buddy.
I know you don't watch current wrestling, and I don't either, but I actually heard this through a couple friends. There's a new signing in AEW. I don't know if you know this guy, because he debuted post-89, but his name is Bryan Danielson, better known as Daniel Bryan in the WWE. His contract had lapsed a few months ago. He'd be working some dates on a handshake agreement. But he actually was a free agent, and he recently reportedly signed with All Elite Wrestling. You are a doctor. You know of his concussion history, of his neck problems. He almost fully retired because of it. Went through various different procedures and experimental, you know, techniques, hyperbaric chambers, all kinds of different stuff. To be able to get back into shape and get cleared again to wrestle, which, of course, he did the last couple of years. You watched AEW a couple times, so you are familiar with their style. You complained about the flip-flopping and flying and all that. Given his neck injury history, his concussion, multiple concussions over his 20-year career, he's not going to have any reins on him anymore. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants. He's going to wrestle the fast-paced, breakneck pace of AEW.
No pun intended.
Literally. We know what happened to Matt Hardy last year when he got severely concussed and Tony Khan let him go back in and finish the match when he never should have. I'm worried for Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson's safety. And I think his wife should have said something to him. And look, I know you don't know a lot about his history and all that, but I'm a big fan of his work. I watched him on Total Divas with his wife, Brie Bella. He came off on the show as kind of selfish, you know, during his whole semi-retirement phase when he was trying to find his way back in. He just couldn't accept the fact that he wasn't done yet, which I kind of get. But he's thinking about himself. He loves to wrestle. It's all he wants to do. It's all he knows. It's all he loves. But he's going to risk himself, and, you know, he could get paralyzed. He could die. This could turn into another version of the movie The Wrestler, a guy that just can't give it up and keeps on wrestling and eventually dies in the ring. And I'm being very serious about this. I'm worried that he's going to get hurt because no one there is going to take care of him. And unless you put him with the right guys, I don't trust a lot of their younger talent to take care of him. Even if he is a seasoned veteran and been a, you know, top of his game for the last 20 years, he is reckless. He likes that kind of hard-hitting style of wrestling. I read his book. He used to talk about matches from New Japan and from Ring of Honor where he would literally headbutt a guy, legit, without protecting, until they were busted open. I think it was Naito that he wrestled in from New Japan. And I could be wrong on the name, but it was one of the top Japanese stars. Maybe it was Ibushi, I don't know, but they would go head-to-head, literally, and just headbutt the fuck out of each other. He split his eardrum open. He's had, you know, 15 or 20 documented concussions, probably more that he didn't even remember. Knowing the human anatomy like you do, and I know this is a very long question I'm proposing, but I just wanted to give you the whole, paint the whole picture for you.
I'm going to knock your balls off.
I like it when you do that.
I'm going to knock your balls off.
Okay.
Pulling back the fourth wall a little bit.
Yeah.
See how it says bromance at the top?
Yes, sir.
I never got to do this. And I even mentioned Daniel Bryan signing with AEW.
Oh, no shit, yeah.
That.
Wow, so you do know about
my issue. My issue is, shouldn't there be some medicals that this guy has to pass? Shouldn't there be some reflexes? There should be such a... when you get signed from one team to another in the NFL, you got to pass the physical. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you don't, whether it's physiologically, neurologically, anatomically, you might get cut.
Yep.
And we never got to it. Sunday night is what I should say.
Gotcha. That's funny. And we didn't even talk about this ahead of time.
Serious shit. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm going to knock you in the balls because they're going to let him run free reign. There's going to be no medicals. And this guy, now, meanwhile, Matt, how about this? The guy was retired for 4 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Almost,
5 years, something like that. They said, hey, listen, there's something going on in your brain that we don't like.
Yeah.
And then they decided, okay, your brain healed up. The brain does heal. However, you still induce that trauma. It's like, if you take a paper clip and you bend that first little stem, mm-hmm. when you bend it back to the way it was, it's never going to have the same strength to it.
Right.
That's how getting your brain jarred is. So,
and if you bend it too much, it'll snap off.
Your brain's not going to snap. However, it'll stop working.
Yeah.
And that's where, which is kind of funny that you even said that. We're all going to pull back the wall a little bit. I had no clue he was going to go on that, and he had no clue that I had written that down to discuss, possibly, and I just never got to it because we go on other stuff, on Bromance, live on YouTube every Sunday with Vince Russo.
Well, good deal. Is there anything else you want to say about it? I mean, like, it's literally...
I thought you meant about the show, Russo, Bromance, live on Sunday every week.
It's a dangerous thing, dude. Like, I really am fearful for his
They're
safety.
Really subjecting himself to something bad because if you don't vet this guy, not that there's... Look, he obviously wrestled, and now it's just out of contract, but what else is there? There's got to be a medicals. There's got to be a provision. There has to be a physical that this guy passes. I get what you're saying because you know more about that than I do about the flip-flopping and flying. My point is, should he ever even be allowed in there because of the risk that can take place?
If you go by the independent contractor rule, that they're not responsible if he gets injured in the ring.
But are they afraid? Then they're not. So then Disco again is wrong because I always prove Disco wrong.
Disco likes to say, like any sports franchise, you have to vet your athletes and give them due process, or vet them to see if they're worthy of competition. So he's wrong again, which is another. It's like 88 me, Disco zero.
The second supposed signing this week, and it's not officially There's confirmed.
More. Holy shit, it's
not
dude.
It's not officially confirmed, but Ringside News was reporting that CM Punk has signed with AEW. As you know, CM Punk walked out of the WWE, what was it, 2014? God, it's been a long time. I think it was somewhere around there. 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. Dates are kind of fuzzy with me. Had a lot of heat with WWE, the way he was treated when he was there, the way he was treated after the fact that he left. Major heat with Vince McMahon and Triple H.
Didn't he, on his wedding day, he got his release forms, right? Did. Like, yeah, over, I remember that.
He did. Went to UFC, had a couple fights, got his ass beat. Got to give him credit for even trying. Most people give him shit for losing, but I mean, it took one loss away and made it a no decision because the guy failed the drug test. But
that didn't happen. You're lying about that.
He came back to Fox, which was doing a show called WWE Backstage. So technically, he wasn't an employee of WWE, but he was doing a WWE show on Fox. So he did make his return technically to WWE television last year or the year before. Everybody keeps wondering, is he ever going to come back to the ring? I don't know how this news got out. Somebody leaked it, whether it was Tony Khan or somebody else. But I've heard from sources, from my guys in Hameen, that this is legit. He will probably debut somewhere around All Out Weekend, which I think is September in Chicago, which obviously he's from Chicago. What do you think about CM Punk coming back? Do you think he's going to be, you know, able to move the needle? Maybe bring an extra 500,000 to a million viewers? Because, I mean, they're doing a million on their own since they're not up against NXT anymore. So for the last 2 weeks, they've got about 1.1 million people watching. Every time WWE would ever go to Chicago, people would chant, CM Punk, CM Punk. Do you think he could, you know, move the needle and get more people watching AEW just to see when he's going to show up or what could happen? Obviously, Daniel Bryan is a big star, too. There's several guys they've signed recently from WWE. They got Christian Cage is there. The Big Show is there. Mark Henry. Aleister Black just signed there. Now you got Daniel Bryan and supposedly CM Punk. Kind of feels like TNA when they used to sign all the WWE guys. Do you think CM Punk can make AEW a relative competitor, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Nothing. Honestly, I don't know, dude. That was their last guess at a star.
Yeah.
So it's probably the last attempt at trying something else. I don't know.
I mean, there's nobody else there that are that big of a name of a free agent. So, I mean, like, literally, that he's like the last star that's available.
I don't want to say it. I didn't watch him on the whatever the take was, what was CM Punk on again? It was like that little half hour show.
WWE Backstage. Whatever. Yeah. WWE right. Backstage.
I may, but I probably won't. I may watch if he comes back.
I may too, because even though I don't,
He was the last star after Cena, which they didn't want. They never wanted him.
Right. Yep. No, I agree. Look, Sting is there for fuck's sake. Like, people have literally forgotten about Sting, a fucking icon, a Hall of Famer.
What did he do though? That was the thing. Like, that's it. Like, I don't know, man. That's the other hard part because we know that, but. I don't know, man. It's what do you
but
do?
Think about that. What like, do you do? We're talking about Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, and Sting is there, and nobody cares anymore. Like, he just hey, cool, we saw Sting
because it's not a good line.
Yeah,
the reason why Punk was so good was because the damn storyline
right.
ran out that he was, it was probably the last Stone Cold guy that you had.
I agree.
Except he was half his size.
I mean,
but he still didn't, he still did what he wanted. He was, he could cut a yeah. promo. He could say what he wanted. Yep. He could, you don't have that.
He cut the pipe bomb promo, which obviously they knew he was going to do. But I mean, he did break down the fourth wall and talk about a lot of things that weren't talked about on live TV. And then they did the whole, you know, his contract was lapsing. So they twisted, you know, reality with their storylines. He wins the title from Cena in Chicago at Money in the Bank, hops over the railing with the belt and says, see you later. Takes a picture of the belt in his fridge the next day.
And he was a bad guy, too.
And he was a bad guy, too.
Guy.
But and we were like, holy shit.
He got out of the house.
Yeah, but we were like, holy shit. That was the closest really thing left. You'll ever get to see to like an NWO type, you know what I mean? Like, is this just real? Is this not real?
You really didn't know what was going on. Yeah. That's why, yeah. And that's why it was so good. And yet.
Can you capture that again, though? I mean, AEW doesn't have a good track record for using stars right now. And they're not elevating their homegrown talent either. They keep buying these other guys like TNA and WCW.
And it isn't like it wasn't already broken down that we don't know it's
right.
Look, in the late 90s, kayfabe got blown out of the water, yet they still ran for a freaking 5 years at an awesome rate about what, holy shit, this is so damn good.
Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen. You knew it, but you didn't know it. Right. And then it became so like they wanted us in on it.
Yep.
And then Punk actually started to do something that made it like, well, shit, I get it. He's there working. Maybe he is being a dick. Maybe he is kind of riffing.
Yeah.
We know it's not, but it's just let us freaking enjoy it. And yet it was the closest thing we could ever get. And now, ever since then, I don't know. It hasn't been the same. But can they recreate that? It's not that it's, you know, here's Stone Cold is going to show up somewhere. He's not going to stun Vince McMahon in the head.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But so that's the problem they got to face. Bringing him back is okay. And when he left, it was still kind of how it was.
Right.
He's their last shot, really.
He really is.
And I sound like a mark. I get it. But I still like this shit. I just hate it. That's all.
I agree. No, I agree. I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen.
They've ruined it for me.
They've ruined it for a lot of people. And I know we say we barely talk wrestling. This is really probably the most wrestling we've talked in the last fucking 6 months. But I got one more story. Zack Ryder.
Oh, shit.
Matt Cardona, formerly Zack Ryder of WWE, competed in a death match against GCW heavyweight champion Nick Gage this past weekend, and won. Cardona was the heel. They've been building a feud on social media for weeks. It was a complete fucking utter bloody, like, Ryder took a picture of his white shirt in his dressing room, and then how it was just blood-soaked red after the match. It was disgusting. Cuts all over his back, his arm. He showed pictures of a bloody hotel room, of, you know, his sheets and all that. I don't know if that's a work. Or if the poor hotel staff had to clean that shit up, that's kind of fucked up if they did. I guess he didn't go to the hospital because his wife had, they showed pictures of like the CVS or Walgreens, like gauze pads and Band-Aids and shit and bacitracin or whatever, Neosporin that they bought. So you know a little bit about GCW. They ran some shows in your area at one time. So you're aware of, they're kind of an outlaw promotion. Mm-hmm. There was light tubes involved and pizza cutters and all kinds of weird shit. Zack Ryder came from WWE, this corporate giant, former U.S. champion, former Intercontinental champion, former tag team champion, sat in catering for the better part of a year and a half, until they figured out, you know, they want to use him sparingly. Decides that he doesn't want to resign. He's done some cameos in AEW and TNA Impact.
Well, hold on. Let's go back to Zack Ryder making his whole career by doing his own YouTube show too.
That's correct.
That's how he got to the one guy that actually grabbed the brass ring and still got stomped on his damn head.
He did. They kicked his dick.
I'm sorry.
They kicked his dick in the dirt. But I mean, he got himself over on his own. He went into business for himself. You're right. And made his YouTube channel and got it to where it was so big, they had to do something with him. They had to win the U.S. title.
They took it over. They literally took
it. And they took the show over. Yeah, they did. They took the show over.
And then it sucked. He hasn't done anything since. But
the funniest, anyway, the funniest bit in his show was him climbing a chain link fence and getting stuck at the top. I can't get over. I'm trying to get over. That's, to me, that's hilarious.
He was doing, he wants to spike his hair. He's doing like these upside down headstand push-ups to spike his hair in a pile of gel.
Yeah.
The guy was so damn talented.
Yes.
Star Wars things, freaking the Big O.
Yep.
What was his buddy, the Big O?
Oh, the guy was jacked. I forgot his name. But
he was in there, The O, and then they even ripped on Raw one night by doing repeats. They kept doing the same repeats.
Yep.
Whatever. Either way, he did all this shit. Good for him. Freaking, it's, and that's how he did get up. And then as quickly as he got up, he got smacked back down. No pun intended.
And
now we're back to here at GCW.
And now he's in GCW in a fucking death match at, I don't know, 38 years old or somewhere around there. Fighting with light tubes and all this other shit, getting cut. The fuck? Why? Why would he do that? Is it for the love of wrestling because he wants to perform? It was a great storyline. I mean, he had people interested, but how many people? 5,000, 10,000 people? I mean, it's worse than NWA. No offense against GCW. They're not a fucking juggernaut. You know what I mean?
Well, they're a niche, and that's what it is. And that the damnedest thing is you took my thing, because when I thought you were going to send it to me, and I was going to go, why?
Yeah, why? Yeah, just, I mean, why? He was a star. Why does he feel the need to do that?
I was on a plane going to Vegas because I'm an excellent bowler.
Yeah.
And on the plane, I was watching this thing about David Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to it. I talked to Vince Russo about it on Bromance every Sunday live on YouTube. It's probably about a month ago. Sundays live on YouTube, Vince Russo, the brand. Damn, I can get those plugs out. Why can't I get your plugs out, man? Every time I screw it up.
I don't know.
I'm watching. Look, he got in great shape. David Arquette, he had this stigma about, geez, I don't want to disrespect the business. So instead what he did, okay, instead of just living his life, enjoying his money, and going on auditions to be in movies, he decided to start wrestling again and go into death matches. And he got the shit beat out of him, and I don't understand why.
I don't know.
You never punch down. You punch up.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, and you're not proving anything by saying you could take a beating. Like, why would you take a beating? That doesn't mean, hey, you know what you should do? Send a stunt double that looks exactly like you to take said beating and say, hey, dummy, I'm still up in my hotel in a penthouse and I got freaking 8 hookers here and they're freaking creaming my freaking frothy bush. You know what I mean?
It would have been funny if you sent Brian Myers, the former Kurt Hawkins, his buddy there.
All right, no, but
yeah, it would have been pretty funny if you sent him to fucking get his ass beat by Nick Cage, but. He won the title.
He's a good dude, by the way.
No, he's a good dude, but he won the title, showing off his wounds like fucking battle scars. From what I've learned, there wasn't any medical staff in attendance.
Yeah, that's smart.
And
even at worst, I'm usually
there. Yeah, I know. And then after the match, fans were throwing full beer cans at him, full water bottles. Somebody even actually threw a pizza cutter, which is Nick Gage's gimmick. He likes to cut people up with a pizza cutter, like New Jack used to use the fucking cheese grater in ECW, right? That was his gimmick. Somebody threw one of those at Zach, which clearly could have fucking hit him and hurt him. The ring was littered with debris. You know, back in the day, they used to throw, you know, batteries at fucking wrestlers and all that.
Yeah, you'd be upset and everything when you thought it was real, but...
Well, Dutch Mantel took to Twitter today. You know Dirty Dutch. Brilliant mind for the business.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the fans that were there throwing those were probably plants. He got a lot of heat for that with the fucking neckbeards for doing that. Is the GCW crowd kind of crazy? Yes. Are they virgins? Probably. Do you think the fans could have been plants? Do you think, because Meltzer, to preface this, Meltzer tweeted about it and said that it's completely unprofessional that you promote this kind of environment. You let your fans throw objects at your wrestlers. GCW took that tweet and made it a t-shirt today. So they are embracing the fact that their fans were doing that. Number one, completely fucking dangerous. It sets a precedent for every promotion around the country if they want to be cool like that and be part of the fucking cool kids and start throwing shit in the ring. We've seen people jump in the ring recently to try to attack people in AEW. Would it be smart for GCW to promote that, to have plants? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because that's, you know how people are. People are sheep. People will follow everybody.
They all want to be in on it.
They all want to be part of the fucking show. Right.
Yes, they all want to be in on it. And I would bet my entire life that they were all in on it.
Yeah.
So I don't care what anybody says.
That's what I think too.
It was so blatantly obvious that they were in on it because they all started at the same time. Almost as if there was the applause light from the SNL.
And then all the bottles.
When Dana Carvey's on and like applause and like, okay, let's throw them.
Yep.
And notice there were, how about the fact that none of these idiots drink water to begin
with? They're all full.
There's no freaking way.
But plus they're all full. These, yeah,
of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, it makes sense, I guess, but they ain't buying them.
No,
because they are neck-bearded freaking weirdos
yes.
that came there with $8. They wanted their $3 hot dog, and they're like, I'm not buying a water. I'm going to get a beer and be done with it.
Right.
So they passed out waters, I'm sure. I'm sorry to anybody. Ocho knows a lot about a lot, and that's what I'm going to leave it at.
So
it was such a work.
Right. And I,
such a work.
I agree. That's like, in, you know, somehow pallets and pallets of fucking signs
just
and
magically
rocks
appeared. How about that?
And bricks show up, and Antifa just happens to come in there and just fucking start destroying buildings. Somebody just dropped off that? Pallets of bricks.
There's 4,000 bricks right here. Let's throw them through windows. Yay! Yeah.
Imagine that. That's coincidental. That's weird. Yeah, I agree. I think with a fix too. So
the government is kayfabe, and so is GCW.
Thank you for listening to this edition of RTW Main Event. You can follow the show on Twitter at RTW Brand. Follow Red Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. And follow the Ocho at
DDR Ocho.
Ocho. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Main Event right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.